Your first eight guys maybe should be blue plate specials, but those back five guys, they should be more like tin hats, more guys that are grunt players, garbage players that dive for the ball.
You are listening to the Scrambled Eggs Podcast on CrackSidewalks.com.
Boy, we've got a lot to talk about. Hi, everyone. Welcome into Scrambled Eggs, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast here on CrackSidewalks.com. Joe McCann and Phil Bush checking in with you for an off-season pod. I think it's been long enough, Phil, and gosh, we have some topics to go through.
At this point, I'm kind of shocked that the Scrambled Eggs podcast lineup hasn't turned over. Have we gotten any new podcasters in the studio that I'm not aware of?
Not that I'm aware of. I have not entered the portal yet. You haven't, to my knowledge, entered the transfer portal yet, but we're basically going to try to get caught up on all the comings and goings on the Marquette roster, and it certainly would not shock me if there is more roster news between the time we record this and the time you guys listen to it, because the news is coming fast and furious. But, Phil, I think enough has happened that I guess the point of today's pod, we kind of want to go through what the roster is at this moment, maybe our takes on how Shaka Smart's roster is taking shape at Marquette, what we may think it means for the way the team is going to play next year and maybe in the years to come. And, further speculation on what's next, I guess.
Yeah. It's been, like you said, it's been almost too much to keep track of. And we've been kind of, quite frankly, procrastinating on recording this because, you know, it always feels like there's another shoe about to drop. And at this point, there's been about 47 shoes. So we thought, you know, quite frankly, we had planned to do this today anyway, prior to the DJ Carton news. But, you know, now that shoe has dropped, seems like a good time to take a pulse of where everything is, how we got here, and, you know, what, if any, change there may be left. So, you know, what's your overall reaction to all the change? Is this healthy? Are you surprised? Is this...
I think when you have a new coach, especially a coach who's taken over a team that finished ninth in the Big East, change is needed. He needs guys that are going to fit his system and the way he wants to play, and he's certainly doing that. There are a lot of new faces on this team, and yes, like I said, change was needed for Marquette finished ninth in the Big East last year. It's not like you wanted to cling to what was going out there the year before, but it is a lot to process because there's so much unknowns when you have this many new faces. Like, how are they all going to gel together? Who is going to be a legit contributor, and who may just kind of fade into the background and not be much of a contributor at all? I think you're being too optimistic if you think every guy who's just been added is going to be a star. It's usually not how it works, but I am highly intrigued by the way the roster is taking shape. I think it's been pointed out by many on the MUB Twitter hashtag and whatnot, Phil, that it seems like Shaka is going to more of the switchables model that we were used to under Buzz than maybe what we were, the way the rosters were built under Wojo.
Yeah, I think he's going, honestly, and no one should be shocked. I mean, one of the appeals of Shaka Smart was even at Texas where, you know, apparently he struggled. I get it, but even at Texas, he had a top 40 defense every year, right? Like, so I think he's building with athletes and from the defensive end first, right? That seems he wants, you know, he doesn't have a lot, he has size height-wise, but he doesn't have a lot of size from a girth standpoint, right? There's no, you know, pounders or big postmen or whatever on this roster currently. He's building with athleticism, and quite frankly, I'm hoping he's building for havoc, right? Like, that's, he's going to have a lot of guys and run a lot.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll truly be havoc. I think Shaka has even said in interviews that he's not going to do the true, like, VCU havoc, which is, you know, 40-minute presses all the time. That has not tend to work out at the higher levels. But I do anticipate a very active defense in some way. Maybe more active in the half court than active in the full court. But yeah, I do think he's getting guys who are going to defend at a high level, which has been a staple of Shaka Smart's teams, which is what we said on the last podcast. He's had a top 40 defense, I think, every year going back to his last year at VCU. So he builds good defenses. It's, you know, the question may be how the offense is going to come along under Shaka Smart.
Yeah,
I think, go ahead.
The last thing I was going to say is I do think, like, the offense is going to be fed by the defense, right? Like, it's going to be a 180, whereas Wojo was very much a slow it down, not really value possession, but, you know, slow it down at least. I think Shaka is going to try and create turnovers and run. So, you know, I think if nothing else, based on the roster construction, they're you know, the youth excuse is back, right? We don't have any juniors. We have very few real true seniors. But it will be an exciting brand of basketball, I think.
Yeah, what I wanted to do real quickly is maybe for those who are not up to speed, maybe go through quick rundown of every change that we have gone through since our last podcast. So let's catch up.
Are you hydrated? Are you ready?
I am. I'm ready. Okay. Well, let me get a sip of coffee here, and I think I'll be good for it. So since the season ended, here's the changes. Who is out? Symir Torrence is transferred. He's at Syracuse now. Dawson Garcia has entered his name into the NBA draft, but is keeping his eligibility, so he may return. We're still waiting on him. The three seniors from last year have all decided to move on. They're all going to play another year, but not at Marquette. So Kobe McEwen, he's going to Weber State for his last year. Jamal Kane is going to Oakland for his last year. Theo John is going to Duke for his last year, which is really cool. You know, as much as I would love to have Theo back at Marquette, that's a heck of an opportunity for Theo to go to Duke.
Absolutely. I mean, even if nothing else, for a grad degree, you know, and or the experience,
options overseas,
right?
Maybe not, I mean, what they would normally be in a regular offseason because of COVID. So maybe raise his profile in a year at Duke, and maybe he gets better pro opportunities a year from now. So good for him. Happy for Theo.
When did we level the tampering charges?
Seriously,
with Coach K,
Wojo took Theo on his unofficial visit. He did. Like that was his official visit when they went and practiced at Durham after the North Carolina game, and, you know, the team worked out at Duke, and he took the whole team around and showed them, you know, the Duke campus and practice, and there's even a picture of Wojo and Coach K and Theo all chatting. You know, that's when the relationship started. So Coach K had met Theo, so he's like texted, "Hey, you want to come play at Duke for a year?" So that's what happened.
You up?
Okay, so again, Symir is gone. Dawson is halfway gone. Three seniors have all transferred for an extra year. DJ Carton, which I'm sure many of you saw on Wednesday, he is all in on the draft. And that was the surprising one, Phil, that it seemed, you know, it's maybe foolish to read social media posts and interpret them, but it seemed like DJ was all in on the Shaka Smart era, but suddenly he's not. He is in the draft, declared for an agent, and is 100% not coming back, which was just a little surprising based on just kind of following his social media and how he seemed to be excited for to be working with Shaka Smart. So DJ Carton is not coming back.
Yeah, I think it is a bit perplexing. I mean, good for him if that's the right choice for him. I'm not going to speculate as the reasons or whatever. But I mean, it is perplexing. I think we can acknowledge that. And simultaneously say, okay, good for you.
Hope it works out for him.
Hope it works out well.
I haven't seen a mock draft with DJ Carton in it yet, but I've been surprised before. And finally, the last guy who is out is Dexter Acano, redshirt freshman. He entered the portal this past week, so he is not expected to return to Marquette. So those are the guys who are out. Guys who are in. Whew, deep breath. Okay, so we already knew Cam Jones and Stevie Mitchell, who signed back in November. They have reaffirmed their commitments, so they are still in. Then he signed, Shaka did, three former Texas commits. Kian Etigere, David Joplin, who's from Wisconsin, so he is staying close to home, and he's going to play for Shaka at Marquette. Imarion Ellis, who is from Iowa, he is another guy who signed with Texas. He is now in. Two transfers who will be sophomores next year, Tyler Kolek, who's coming in from George Mason, and Olivier Maxence Prosper, who is coming in from Clemson. He's actually a Canadian, but he did play his freshman year at Clemson. He was a National 100 prospect the year before. And finally, Kerr Quath, who played last year at Oklahoma. He is a super senior. So he will be, and he's a 6'10 big man. So he is in his COVID year, but he's similar how Theo is spending his at Duke. Kerkwath is going to spend his at Marquette. So those are all the guys who are in. So that's eight newcomers, if you're keeping track. That's five freshmen who are coming in, two sophomores coming in, and one super senior. So speaking to what you said earlier, Phil, about this being a young team, I know we got tired of the young team thing under Wojo, but this is a young team. When you're talking about five freshmen, either four or five sophomores, depending on Dawson Garcia's decision, and no juniors, and I guess that would leave with either three or four seniors in some regard, whether it's Greg Elliott, Jose Perez, Kerkwath, and who am I leaving out? I think that's it. Yeah.
That's it.
Right.
I mean, because Tommy Gardner's technically a junior, but I don't, you know, I don't know that he's going to play much.
That's a young team, guys. that's a lot of inexperience. Coming back from Marquette, so talented, but they will be young. So that is where we are: five freshmen, either four or five sophomores, and then maybe two seniors, two or three seniors, depending on how, you know, any future roster movement. But as now, that's the roster currently stands at 13. If Dawson Garcia pulls out of the draft and returns to Marquette, so thoughts on the roster, Phil.
Right. Yeah. Well, boy, it's a lot to take in, right? It's definitely a remake of the entire roster. And to be fair to Shaka, there's nothing that says a roster makeover of nearly this quality or nearly this extent wouldn't have happened under Wojo if Wojo stayed, right? There very well could have been transfers out and having to bring people in out of the portal and you know, expanding the number of freshmen, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's fair to say that certainly this is an effect of the coaching change, but that doesn't necessarily make it a bad thing, right? Turnover is turnover. I think Dawson Garcia, I 100% want back, but I understand it if he gets indications that he's going to be drafted. Just like Henry Ellenson, I don't care how it works out. If you're guaranteed millions of dollars for playing a couple of years of basketball, you make that move.
You know, right? Selfishly, like, yes, of course, we all want Dawson Garcia back. He's a great player, and we like good players at Marquette. But again, we understand. But I will say, Dawson Garcia, maybe he gets picked, maybe he doesn't. I guarantee he's not getting Henry Ellenson-level money. Henry Ellenson was a projected lottery pick. And that, I don't mean that disrespectfully.
Right. Agreed. Yeah, he's not going in the top 15.
The next mock draft I see Dawson Garcia in will be the first. I have not seen him projected to be selected. Again, not trying to be disrespectful. That's not me saying it. That's guys who pay attention to the draft and mock it and talk to NBA scouts and NBA teams about who they want, who they're interested in. There's not a lot of...
Not criticism, just
people,
facts.
You know, this may not like hearing this, but honestly, staying in college is not a terrible option. For especially for a guy with legit NBA potential. I think a year from now, Dawson Garcia could get drafted, and maybe very high. You know, another year of strength and conditioning, maybe raise his profile a little bit, playing hopefully for a team that does better and wins more games. Now, it depends on all what your goals are, right? If your goal is to just, I'm done with college, I don't want to take classes anymore, and I just want to make money as soon as I possibly can, wherever it is, then I can understand the take of get out of the NCAA as soon as you possibly can. And just go make money, because even if you're playing in, I don't know, Lithuania making $500 a week, that's better. That's more than you would make in the NCAA. Technically true. But if you could be a first-round pick a year from now, where you could get a contract that's guaranteed for two or three years at six, seven figures, staying in college another year may be a good investment on your behalf. Right, like yes, you're not getting an actual paycheck playing in college unless they pass NIL, which is a whole nother discussion. But you're not getting any cash, but you are getting high level training and exposure, and there is some value in that, especially if you are an NBA, a potential NBA player who could get drafted a year or two from now. I think that's a good investment in your time. Now, if you're not an NBA talent, maybe getting out of college and going over and playing in Europe may make more sense. But if you can develop into an NBA talent, I don't think staying in college is that bad. I really don't.
I agree, and I would also point out that, like, we've had this conversation with every player that's kind of put their name into the draft since they've gone to the model where you can declare for the draft but not hire an agent and retain your eligibility, which was probably the most shocking part of the DJ decision, right? Like, I don't have any issue with declaring for the draft, not retaining your eligibility, and test the waters, right? Like, they should do that every year. Get feedback. Understand what needs to change about your game, how you need to adapt. How do you turn into that first-round draft pick, etc., right? So Dawson's not hiring an agent, so he's preserving the ability to come back. He's going to get that experience, and I mean, my read of the situation is if he thinks he can get drafted, whether it's first or second round, right? And the second round is not guaranteed money. But if he thinks he's going to get drafted, I think he probably goes. But if he's not going to get drafted, and like you said, all the mocks aren't, I would anticipate him coming back so that he can build towards another year for next year. Because quite frankly, between him and Justin Lewis, you know, without seeing the newcomers and the freshmen, those two are the most, I don't say this in terms of guarantee they will be in the NBA, but Dawson Garcia and Justin Lewis are the most likely on the current roster as we understand now.
It's just to be in the matter NBA. Of how Dawson wants to get there. Does he? Let's assume he is undrafted, which I think right now is the most likely scenario. Does he think going and playing in the G League or playing in whatever European league would take him at whatever salary he can get would get him to the NBA and get that $1 million contract sooner than playing at Marquette for one or two more years and becoming, and does he think he can work his way up to a first round pick? I'm not saying either way is right or wrong, but I think if you look long term, there's a lot for a guy like Dawson, it could make a lot of sense to stay in college a year or two, because I do think Dawson Garcia can be a first round pick eventually, maybe next year, maybe 2 years from now. I don't think he's one right now.
Right. Well, and again, it's a question of you're kind of betting on yourself, right? Like if he goes to Europe, again, we're assuming he's not drafted. He's got the choice of, you know, G League or Europe, or staying in Marquette. There is certainly a level of visibility that playing at a high-profile school like Marquette with a brand new coach, and, you know, if the roster is talented enough, hey, if they can make a deep tournament run or win the Big East in the next year or two, right? That the NBA is littered with players that shined at a critical moment in the NCAA and probably got drafted over where they should have been drafted, simply because they put themselves on display. So that's the question he's got to ask for himself before he comes back. And, you know, I've got an opportunity to shine in a meaningful way on home soil versus shining in the G League or Europe. The question is, you know, his game probably develops better in a professional league simply because, you know, they're now professionals, right? He doesn't have to go to class. He doesn't have to study. He doesn't have to take tests. He's just working on his shot, working on his game, lifting, whatever, and being paid to do that. So his game maybe develops a little bit better, but there's a certain amount of lost visibility that comes with that.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what the right or wrong take on this is, because we'll have to see how these guys develop. But take a look at the guys who were in the G League this year, specifically Jalen Green, for example, who is projected to be a top five pick. So, I mean, he's basically right on track to what his goals were. But against a guy like Jalen Suggs, who played in college for a year, I think more people know who Jalen Suggs is than people know who Jalen Green is. Because Jalen Suggs played in the NCAA tournament, got Gonzaga to the Final Four, hit that big shot. But that doesn't mean he made the right decision necessarily, because Jalen Green has been paid to play basketball for the last year and all he's been doing. And who knows, maybe Jalen Green will, even if he's selected two or three spots below Jalen Suggs, maybe he'll be a big impact player in the NBA sooner than Jalen Suggs is. And there are a few other guys who were in the G League. We'll see how they develop. And I don't think there's one thing that's 100% right or 100% wrong that, like, oh, if you go to the G League for a year, you're definitely going to be better than everyone who played in college last year. Or if you played in college, you're definitely going to be higher profile and make more money than anyone who went in the G League. I don't think there's one thing that's 100% right or 100% wrong. It just, it varies player to player. I don't know what the right path for Dawson Garcia is or DJ Carton is, but they have the right to choose what they want to do, and we'll see what they decide. We know what DJ Carton's going to has decided, because I don't think there's any turning back for him now. He's all in. So good luck to him, and we'll see what Dawson decides. The longer he kind of tests these draft waters, the more I think he may want to go. But he is not, again, the time we are recording this podcast, he has not said definitively one way or the other whether he's all in or whether he wants to return to Marquette or another option. He could still enter the transfer portal. That's still a option. And if he did that, there would be a lot of teams that would call him. But he has not entered the transfer portal as of this moment. So we'll see what he decides. Obviously, selfishly, as Marquette fans, love to have him back, because I think that would be a pretty nice team. Maybe not quite as excited as I would be if Carton was back as well, because I think those would be the three exciting pieces from the Wojo team that would we would all want have wanted to return, would have been Carton, Garcia, and Lewis. As of right now, it seems like the only one that's definitely back is Lewis. But, you know, the interesting thing, Phil, while this team next year is projected to have three seniors, they're all essentially kind of role players, aren't they? Like, the only one that I really think would start would be Greg Elliott. And I wouldn't necessarily say that's a 100% lock. I would think Greg Elliott would start, but who knows? But, you know, while there would be three seniors, I think every significant player and most of the starters certainly would be freshmen or sophomores.
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's a there is a possibility that freshmen and sophomores are getting 80 to 90% of the minutes next season, right? Again, and it's funny about the it's funny we talked about the youth excuse. If that happens, this team will be by significant measures far younger than any of the Wojo teams that we ever said were young, right? Right? Like, now it's a question of the is the talent comparable, but this team will be
truly
a very
young team. People tried to call last year's
team
a young team. I pushed back on that. I said, yeah, the three most exciting players are young, but that was a team that had three seniors in the starting lineup, including a fifth-year senior in Kobe McEwen and a fourth-year junior in Greg Elliott as the first guy off the bench. That was not really a young team. Like, a lot of the guys you depended on were young, but this, like, 90% of the rotation, 90% of the minutes are probably going to freshmen or sophomores. And, I'm just taking a stab at what a starting lineup might even look like, Phil. If Garcia comes back, I would assume Garcia and Lewis are both starting, along with Greg Elliott. And then after that, who knows?
Yep.
Would Tyler Kolek be a starter? Would Kirk Wath be a starter? Stevie Mitchell starting as a true freshman point guard? I would think he would almost have to, because they need a point guard on this team.
Yeah, I don't that with DJ gone, I think Stevie Mitchell is like penciled in as the starter at the point guard, because I mean there are other players that could maybe handle the ball, but none of them are starters, right? Are start level type point guard. So I think a starting lineup with the roster, again, assuming Dawson's back, I think we've got Stevie at the point. I would guess you're going to have Kolek, just from a shooting standpoint, is going to be playing the two. Lewis and Garcia would kind of start. And then that swing player is going to be interesting, right? Like, you want to have some senior presence and enthusiasm, which says Greg Elliott. But, you know, Greg is a little short.
Yeah,
to be
I mean, in college you can play smaller, though.
You know. Yeah, you could, and no doubting he's got energy. So I think if Greg stays, he's probably slotted in as the fifth starter. But it's going to be interesting, and it'll be interesting to see how they share the minutes around there, right? Especially with the bigs, with Dawson and Justin, who are obviously the two best players on the roster, but you've got some depth from, you know, from the point, the forward and the center position in Prosper, and we don't know what Igodaro is. You know, Quath is kind of a rim protector, defensive type. You know, David Joplin is going to be a power forwarder. Maybe he plays the threesome, but there's going to be some flexibility on the roster. But yeah, if Dawson stays, it's going to be interesting to see who runs the point, because right now, if Dawson comes back and no one else leaves, that's the roster we have on paper.
Yeah, I think that you're going to see Marquette connected to more guys in the portal. I know some of you are like overwhelmed, like, my gosh, how many guys are they going to add? How many guys are going to leave? Well, that's kind of what you got to do, I guess. Marquette is still connected to Daryl Morcel, who would be a grad transfer. I think he'd be a super senior from Maryland. And the connection, of course, would be on the coaching staff. DeAndre Haynes is coming from Maryland. So there could be a connection there that could get Morcel to Marquette, and that would definitely give you a veteran presence and definitely a stabilizing force at the guard spot, so that would be good, but there could be other transfers that could be available. I would be surprised if they added any more freshmen. So don't be surprised if there are still more additions to this roster. And who's out? Who knows? Yeah, I don't like speculating who else could transfer, but, you know, I think your point is well taken, Phil. I would feel much better with another ball handler, particularly a veteran ball handler on this team, because we saw how much this team struggled last year when DJ Carton was not on the floor. I mean, there just weren't enough good ball handlers, and all the other guys who would be ball handlers this year are all young, and that would be a big concern for me heading into this season if all the guys handling the ball are freshmen or sophomores.
Correct. Well, and you're one guard injury away from, you know, to maybe looking at a point forward situation. And again, we don't know stylistically how it's going to work out, but Shaka has in multiple interviews, which I have to say, one, I was enamored with Shaka before he was even hired, but two, you know, kind of as a tangent, Shaka's availability, and yes, he speaks in coach speak to a certain extent, but his availability to the media and the way he talks about stuff is like such a night and day difference to Wojo. Like Wojo, I almost never watched any of his press conferences because I knew there was nothing that was going to be said. Whereas Shaka, he may be saying nothing at all either, but just his mannerisms and the way he goes about it is just so interesting to watch that I'm, you know, I'm kind of intrigued. But having said, you know, having gone down that tangent, he has spoken significantly about pick and roll type offense. You need a couple of key ball handlers to be able to work a pick and roll offense. If we have a single freshman point guard that can handle the ball, we're one injury away from the offense not being a thing. Right. I mean, not to evoke the days of Travis Diener, you know, going down and having James Matthews or Marcus Jackson. Excuse me, Marcus Jackson is a point forward. Those days give me nightmares. Right. So there's definitely going to have to be more point guard depth added, which is kind of surprising because point guard was pseudo. I wouldn't go so far as to say a strength. But we certainly had depth there, you know, prior to the last.
Going back to what you said about Shaka, you can see why he wins in the living room, right? Like how he maybe connects with these players and their parents, how he would be like, just if you get him to visit the home and meet the family and do his recruiting in person, how he could be so engaging and really bring guys in and be an excellent recruiter. It, like, with Wojo. Great credibility as a coach, and seemingly, you know, was well liked by his players. But when he would do press conferences, and like it didn't really connect with me how you see him in his press conferences, and then you see recruits say, "Yeah, we're really connected with Wojo. He's just a really cool guy." I didn't ever really make that connection, like how Wojo would win in the living room, right? But I could see it with Shaka.
Right, Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, I even made some commentary that I'd run through a wall for Shaka, and I've seen like four press conferences, right? Like, it's just the way he goes about, the mannerism, you know, whether it's put on or not, the enthusiasm he clearly has for A, the sport, and B, for Marquette, feels infectious, and you kind of want to, you know, go to work with him. And I know, like, there's the cynics of everyone, but like some of the videos that have been coming out on Marquette's social media from the team, you know, Shaka diving on the floor for balls and kind of he had a challenge with Justin Lewis where they, you know, were basically doing core workouts to see who would give first, right? Like, I mean, that the cynical side of me says, oh, that's all played up and that's just for, you know, giggles and grins and enthusiasm. But I mean, that none of that was present in the Wojo era. So, you know, it is a bit of a breath of fresh air and kind of gives me confidence that, you know,
I'm excited
you've got
to see
a steady
how it all plays
hand
out
at the tiller.
I've never gone into a season with this much uncertainty just because I know so little about the guys who are going to be on the roster. At the moment, we have eight guys who did not play a minute for Marquette last year. So, of 13 scholarship players, only five would have played last year at all for Marquette. And one of them is Osa Iguodaro, who didn't play very much at all. He got hurt towards the end of the year. Jose Perez didn't really get many minutes until the latter half of the season. And even Lewis had some injury problems, but he got plenty of minutes when he was healthy. But so there is just so much uncertainty as far as what this team is going to look like. You know, I mean, I could watch highlight tapes on YouTube and Instagram and maybe get an idea of maybe what some of these players look like and how they play, but I have no idea how they're going to fit together and what the defense is exactly going to look like, what the offense is exactly going to look like. So I just think positively and say, hey, it's going to be working. Hopefully it's all going to work out, and this is going to be a great team. They're going to be super athletic and long, and hopefully they win some games, but who knows? This could be a top three Big East team. This could be a bottom three Big East team. I have no idea right now, but that kind of makes it exciting. It's exciting because there's a new coach, and it's a new era, whereas if we had this exact same situation with a coach we have known for 7 years, I probably wouldn't be all that excited about it because I've known what that coach has done for the last 7 years, but this is a new coach and it's a new coaching staff.
Yeah.
So it's a new beginning. So I guess I'm looking forward with optimism as instead of expecting kind of the same old pattern of things.
Yeah. You know, what's going to be interesting and it's both a good and a bad thing is, you know, because of COVID, I mean, hopefully we return to full stadiums, you know, when the season starts, but I'm willing to bet they're not going to have the, you know, the October 1st, hey, you know, season ticket holders and or public come to the Al and you'll see a scrimmage and the, you know, and some of the Marquette Madness stuff where you get your first look at the team for that season. So it's good in that nobody will overreact to something you see in a scrimmage for 5 minutes, but it's bad in that nobody will overreact to something. You know, when Cam Jones goes off on a dunk or something and everyone's talking about how he's the next, you know, I don't know, Damian Mason or something. I'm going to kind of miss that. So I think this season is going to be a big bundle of surprise, right? Like it's going to be the non-conference season. That's when we're going to figure out what we have here, because we have very limited knowledge of what this team is, even on the returners. The only two returners, well, I take that back. Assuming Dawson Garcia comes back, we have three players that we know what they can do on the court. Everything else is up in the air.
The only guys we know for sure, like what they can do, would be Dawson, Justin, and Greg. Yeah, like Oso is a mystery. In limited minutes, though, I didn't dislike what I saw from Oso. I thought he gave great effort. Could certainly stand to get stronger.
Agreed.
But I don't think he embarrassed himself last year at all. I think he could be a really good player if he can develop under Shaka Smart. Now, he may be depended on a lot more next year if Dawson Garcia stays in the draft. So, and he would definitely be a rotation guy, but if Dawson Garcia returns, he would definitely be probably a deep bench guy, but I think he would be in great position to be a big contributor in his junior and senior season. If Dawson comes back this year, I'm almost assuming Dawson would definitely be gone next year, because I really think Dawson could develop into an NBA player, a draft pick, a year from now. Maybe Justin Lewis is in the same boat. I think Justin Lewis could be an NBA player a year from now, especially if he has a healthy season. I think his stock really took a hit with that injury, and he just didn't perform, certainly didn't score at a high level as he was pre-injury last year. And, of course, Kirk Weth is going to be gone after this year because he's a super senior, so this is his last year. So Marquette's definitely going to have some needs in the front court after this season, no matter what happens with Dawson Garcia. But yeah, there's a lot of unknowns and still, like I said, but between the time we record this and the time you guys listen to it, there may be one or two more roster moves, whether guys coming in or guys coming out. Maybe even Dawson Garcia decides one way or the other what he's doing. So it's going to be in flux for a while, but I'm just here for the ride. And November can't get here soon enough because I want to see this team play for the ride.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting time, right? I can't say this, for at 100% certainty, but I'd suspect the turnover and change pace will slow some, right? Like, it's not going to be as fast as furious as it has been.
I mean, there's only so many guys left.
right.
I mean, at this point, you know, if there are too many more new guys added, you're going to have to start cutting other new guys.
right.
Like some of the incoming freshmen, you have to say, you know what, never mind.
Right.
So, I mean, you can't, like, I know there's a phrase, like, you never stop recruiting. At some point, you kind of do. Like, when you, like maybe when you've got 20 guys signed to your team, maybe that's when you kind of do stop recruiting.
Yeah.
But, like, right now we got 8 new guys coming in. I assume all 8 guys actually are coming in. So that means there are only 5 spots left where you can make cuts if you're adding anybody else. So I can't imagine there's too much
right.
more.
Agreed. So as long as everyone stays healthy, the roster turnover slows here a bit. I believe we have till the end of May to hear on whether Dawson is withdrawing from the draft. That may be inaccurate. It's very confusing with the COVID rules because the draft is 2 months later than it normally is. So we'll...
Right.
We may not. Maybe that's not right, but I believe it's end of May or mid June at the latest when we'll hear from Dawson. So that's probably another month we wait and hear until we know for sure whether Dawson's back.
Yeah, for sure. All right, I think we've talked enough for an off season pod where there have been zero games.
Well, that's for sure. Plus, I mean, who knows? In the time we've been recording this pod, there may have been 3 more roster changes. So, you know.
Yeah, I actually was just like scrolling Twitter just to make sure we didn't like miss anything in like the hour or so we've been chatting, just in case somebody else left the program or somebody else has been added in the time we've been talking. But nothing so far. So.
Okay, good. So within the next 24 hours, something is guaranteed to happen.
We can continue this discussion on Twitter.
Yes.
You can hit us up. I'm Joe McCann 3. Phil is MOOOF23. At Crack Sidewalks is the team handle. Post a podcast on cracksidewalks.com. Leave your comments there. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify as well. And we also have a Scrambled Eggs Facebook page where we post the pods. Any final thoughts before we're done?
No, just take a deep breath. We've got 5 months to the season. You might want to, think about those season tickets. But other than that, let's sit back, enjoy the ride, and get excited for November.
And get your damn vaccination.
Yes, please.
Be sure to do that.
Please.
Too.
We all want to get together and hug.
We all want to have beers and pack into a stadium and cheer on Marquette basketball.
100%.
Do what you can to make sure that happens. Till next time, everybody. Seashells and balloons.